Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I would ask you, please, to turn to the gospel lesson in the order of service, because it is in the gospel lesson that we discover some really fundamental truths about Christ and his word. We begin by looking at three issues. Then we look at the concept of obedience. And then finally, as a conclusion, we end up with the issue of grace versus work righteousness, and another word, synergism, which we'll define later on. In the first setting, you have a man by the name of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. Now, there are some things we know about Nicodemus. He was a member of the ruling Jewish council that governed the spiritual life of Israel. He was one of the enforcers and one of the examples of being obedient to the law. The question is, why did he come at night? A lot of theories, a lot of opinions, I'll offer mine. You go back into chapter 2, and what did Jesus do? He cleansed the temple. And that created a lot of fear in the Jewish high council, in the people who worked in the synagogue selling their wares and doing their trading. And he said, I have the power and authority to do this. So Nicodemus, clearly, is a little fearful of this man, Jesus, comes by night and simply wants to talk with Jesus. And he begins by saying very clearly, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Rabbi. You know what that word means. It means teacher. It's interesting that Nicodemus is not acknowledging Jesus as God in the flesh. He's not looking ahead to his suffering, death, and resurrection, because Nicodemus knows nothing about that. The only thing Nicodemus knows is that this Jesus is a prophet come from God. He speaks a powerful word with authority, and he has the power to cleanse the temple. This guy is something special. Now we go into the second portion. Jesus doesn't respond to his statement. What Jesus said is simply this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, what does born again mean? There are words in German, for example, that you cannot translate literally. How many of you are from a German background? How many of you would like to be from a German background? Some of us are. The word Gemütlichkeit. Have you heard that word before? You have? Okay. To a German, you cannot translate that word literally. Just can't do it. But when a German hears the word Gemütlichkeit, what comes to mind is food, dancing, beer, party. Now, all of you have been there, correct? Okay. So in that sense, you've enjoyed Gemütlichkeit under the concept of being a German. When Jesus uses the word born again in Greek, it's not something that you can literally translate. There are a bunch of words like that in Greek. But what Jesus is saying, unless you are made over from above, you have no chance of being with me. Catch the phrase, made over from above. The reference is to heaven. The reference is to his Father. And we know who is the one who makes us over again in water, and it's the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus to say, look, if you want to have a relationship with me, and you don't want it to be real, you have to decide at this moment where you're going to stand. Are you going to stand in the Jewish tradition of the law? Or are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to make you over from above, instill in you the gift of faith, the gift of forgiveness of sins, and then, out of obedience to me, live my life within your life? Nicodemus says, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Can a man be born again of his mother? Nicodemus knew the answer to that. It was no. Jesus knew the answer to that, and it's no. Nicodemus, you need to be made over from above. The Holy Spirit will enter your life, give you the gift of faith, assure you of forgiveness of sins, and then, as Luther added, where there's forgiveness of sins, there's new life and salvation. And that is all to come yet in the life of Jesus. So they get into that discussion, and Nicodemus is really unsure of what's going on. Now, in our Lutheran heritage, we believe that in baptism, through the word, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and by the application of water. How it's done doesn't matter. But water is used as a sign of an outward cleansing that's taking place and being washed. And the reality is the Holy Spirit is coming into the heart and the mind, into the soul, and cleansing us from all sins and turning us into God's child, his daughter, his son. We also believe that when adults come to faith in Jesus Christ, it is the Holy Spirit who comes into that person's life because they hear the word of God, they're receptive to learning about it, and then they acknowledge the word of God in Christ Jesus to be truth. And then, when that acknowledgement is made, and in the rite of confirmation, an adult is baptized. Why? As a sign of their faith in Jesus Christ. The same thing is going to take place here at the communion rail. You're not going to be saved because you take Holy Communion. You're already saved. But in kneeling here and receiving bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, you're giving witness to everyone around you that you believe in your heart and mind that Jesus is your Lord and Savior now and forevermore. There are groups who would take issue with us from that Lutheran historical perspective.